What do you do when you're trapped between two bad options? Sell a house that you bought at the peak of the market that's now dropped in value, or stay there when it really doesn't fit your life anymore? That's the question on the mind of today's listener. And look, this one's gnarly. There is no easy answer. And that doesn't mean that we're getting out, though. We're going to do our best, see if we can figure out if there are any better options when you're trapped by a house that's fallen in value. So welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week people from inside the money world answer your questions to give you the freshest insider tips to solve your problems.
Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. realestate.co.nz gives you so many ways to search and so much information to help you make decisions. realestate.co.nz. Download the app today.
All right, Data Queen Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz in the hot seat. You ready for the letter?
I am. Hit me.
All right, this one is a goodie. It's long, but it's good. Okay. Kia ora, Francis. I've been listening to your podcast for the last year or so. Really enjoying it, learning a lot. Things I wish I'd known earlier in life. I've just turned 40. My husband and I have two kids under five and a dog. We both work full-time, household income of just under $244,000 before tax and KiwiSaver deductions. We have virtually no savings or investments currently, having used it all to cover loss of income while I was on parental leave, and are struggling to rebuild our safety net with the current cost of living, especially with young kids. So, despite earning a decent wage, we feel like we're struggling. We bought our house in a desirable Wellington city suburb in December 2020, not quite the height of the market, but close to it. With the housing market downturn over the past couple of years, our house is now worth between $200,000 to $250,000 less than what we paid for it, according to online estimates. It's virtually wiping out our initial deposit. We're not in negative equity, but have lost most of our capital. Our mortgage is substantial, in my opinion, with 37% of our income going on repayments. The house we own is in a great location, has a lot of potential, but is old and needs a fair amount of renovations that we feel like we're never going to be able to afford. It's also not great for a family. It's on a busy street, has a concrete terraced backyard, and is up 30-odd steps to get to the front door. Having kids has changed our minds about our house. We feel like it's not the right fit for us anymore. We're interested in moving to a more affordable area that is family friendly to reduce our mortgage costs, live in a house that suits our family and gives us more money to live life and save and invest for our future. But we're not sure about selling in the current market and that we'll get enough out of the sale of our current house to buy our next, hopefully more affordable one. So we feel stuck. And I'm sure we're not the only ones in this situation. We bought our house wanting a home, not to make capital gains, but we didn't expect to lose such a large amount of capital either. We know what we want to do now, so how can we make it happen? Now, like I say, big letter, but I think there's actually a lot of really great important context there. So a lot of people will have bought around that 2020, 2021 peak. How common a situation do we think this is?
It was very interesting. So I had a look at the exact number of homes that transacted or sold in 2020 and 2021, and there was just shy of 160,000 homes that transacted in that time.
Wow.
Which, as a percentage of the total pool of homes available in New Zealand, is about 8%.
Wow.
That's still quite a significant portion of the population, you know, of the population of houses. And so, like, I do want to say my heart goes out to this, the person who's written this letter. I just think, oh my goodness, that's so tough. And, you know, I really want to say, don't feel alone in this. You are right. There certainly is a lot of other people who are in this scenario. And it's actually very common to feel stuck. One of the biggest challenges with property is that it is a longer term investment, typically. I mean, of course, we all see cycles. We see 10 years, houses double. Sometimes it takes 15 years. Sometimes it takes 3 years, you know, and housing is a cycle. But yeah, I think that that is part of the challenge this lovely writer will have to think about, is around how important is that move for them? And honestly, how viable is it with what it is that they want to achieve? Because there's always options, right? You know, and I know we've talked about this previously, is that there's always options. It just might be that there are two options that you don't really like. And that's, you know, those are always tough situations to be in. But perhaps this is where our writer might be.
Yeah, there is a certain amount of life stage in this. I think I fully identify as someone who also has two kids under five. You know, it's a really crunchy part of life, and you're trying to bounce back from the parental leave. There's not just, you know, the finances, but the life bounce back from the parental leave. There's a whole lot of rebuilding that goes on there. You've got a lot of pressures on your time, a lot of pressures on your finances. And I think that all mounts up in situations like this. When you're thinking about the house, it's not exactly the only thing you're weighing up at that time. There's so many pressures. Do we know how much houses have come off that peak as well?
Probably between 15% and 20%.
Right, yeah.
So looking, that's a lot. Yeah, it is a lot, which probably makes sense around that 200,000 to 250,000 if it's sort of around that $1 million mark, which the Wellington market at the peak around January 2022. So they're just shy of a year either side of that, but it did drop back from that peak of about $1 million that's sort of sitting around that 800,000-ish at the moment as of time of recording. So the Wellington market as a whole has dropped back around 20%. So it sounds like almost to the letter, excuse the pun, that this person has seen the full effect of the Wellington market and the shift in that.
Find the perfect property faster with realestate.co.nz, the home of property. Realestate.co.nz allows you to search the way you want based on your budget, the location, the type of house. You can even draw on the map to find properties in a specific area. You can filter by price range, number of bedrooms, even keywords like brick and tile. If you're keen to avoid buying at auction, you select to view houses with the price displayed. That's super helpful, especially if you're using your KiwiSaver. When you've narrowed down your search, realestate.co.nz will alert you when a new property that matches it hits the market. Download the realestate.co.nz app to find your perfect property faster.
So, as you have flagged, there are always options. They may not always be options we want, but we'll lay them out and say maybe what's your best worst. When someone's looking at selling in a softer market and prices have gone down, what do they need to consider?
It is a great question. So the first thing I would say is I would sit down with a couple of local real estate agents and get a valuation on your property. You just don't know what the demand is like in that, again, you said a desirable suburb. You know, that suburb might not have seen the same impact as the wider Wellington market has. So I would recommend getting in a couple of real estate agents to have a conversation about it. I would also just think about making sure that the real estate agents are going to give you a realistic price, you know, for what is happening in the market. And, you know, perhaps maybe someone that you've that you trust or someone that has recommended that's given you a really honest price in that, because you just don't want to get an overinflated number and feel a little bit better about it. You want to be, you know, someone who's going to be very realistic with you in that moment. One of the first things I would always do is sit down with your financial advisor or your mortgage broker and go, this is the situation I am in. What can I do? Because if you're looking at these lower cost suburbs, maybe a bit further out, you know, what is it that might be the challenges with those suburbs as well in terms of travel time or cost or changing kindies or schools or all the rest of it? So, you know, you really want to think through those moving options. If you have lost that equity or you kind of work the numbers are what the numbers are, right? So you can kind of work with those and go, what does this look like for us? Given it's been, I'm arguing that it is the bottom of the market and it has done for 3 years now, why not start to see what 2026 brings, you know, because it is going to start to move. And I guess those really hard questions you need to ask yourself is this just something that we need a deep breath and we can actually ride this out for another 6, 12, maybe 18 months? Do we actually just need a holiday away from our life for a moment, take a deep breath, get some sunshine? And or is this really something that we cannot live any longer with and we really must move? Because you know, there are options. Like, could you get a student in for, you know, could we put the two kids in one room in bunks and then rent out the second room? And if you're in a desirable suburb in Wellington, maybe there's you're close to the Caketon or something, and then there's people who need a room for a night. It's a means to an end. And I think it sounds like this person that actually even just having a plan can give a light relief of actually, I now know where I'm going, what steps I'm taking. And every time I say no to that coconut latte, it's actually one step closer to getting us to where we want to be. Either a short stint in Fiji or Queenstown maybe, or actually, no, we've decided we're going to move. We are going to stick this out for 12 months, but we know a plan. You know, when you've got so many things rolling around in your head, you just write a to-do list and already you feel better.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you've got all these things rolling around in your head, what ifs, how does this work, all the rest of it. If you just can get a plan around that and make a kind of a, this could be us moving, this could be us staying, this is the reality of both of those options too. Because as I said, if you're in a desirable suburb, it suggests to me that travel time isn't, you know, probably an issue. You know, have you really factored in those pieces? And especially, this is, as you totally said, and it's so true, that crunchy time in life, which you are so not alone in, that will change too. You know, school's different, then after school activities are different, and you'll be thinking, oh my goodness, I wish I were closer to school now, because those activities just seem to go through the roof as soon as they get to school.
Yeah, I know. Everyone I know who's in that slightly further ahead stage of parenting, my Lord, it's busy.
Yeah.
I think I'm busy. They're also very busy, just different. One of the things that really broke my heart when they said they're not quite in negative equity, that's great,
yep,
but it's pretty much eaten their deposit. How many options does that give them if they sell the house and they're pretty much left with nothing in the hand? I mean, do you kind of have to wait at that point?
This is where I would talk to a mortgage advisor about this. And, you know, it also perhaps it might be engaging with your bank as well to go, look, this is what's happened. What are the options here? You know, I do think it's really talking to those experts. And again, don't have to stop at one. Stop at two or three and see if there will be people out there who've got different options available to you. There will be, as I said, 8% of properties transacted during those 2020 and 2021. Like that's a huge number. So there are certainly other people in this scenario. You will not be alone and you will not be the first person to go, oh, we have to move. There's just, you know, that's the other option of staying is just not palatable for us, for our health, for our family. You know, we really do want to move. Okay, then talk to someone who perhaps has helped somebody else in a similar situation out, you know, and there will be advisors who have done exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all sorts of advisors. Some specialize in first home buyers, some specialize in tricky situations, low equity situations like this. I mean, it's brilliant. And this is, I think, especially when there's always that mortgage advisor versus bank. And I think there's pros and cons to both, but I do think a mortgage advisor can be really useful to talk to in terms of they often know which banks are more willing to work with people. They know the sort of general atmosphere. Even if you just go and talk to them, you don't have to then work with them afterwards. Sorry, mortgage advisors, for encouraging people to maybe waste your time. But you know, you can go and talk to them. There's no obligation there. You can just see the lay of the land. I think also what you said about get a plan in place, even if that plan will take 12 months, 18 months, as you're sort of waiting for things to improve a bit. Having a plan and you know you're putting certain things into place to get towards an end goal, I think that's very empowering, because what comes across in this letter is that they're feeling very disempowered, stuck, and out of options. So I think going and talking to someone and getting a plan in place, that's very important, not just for the finances, but the mental health.
I totally agree. You want to organize all of these thoughts and these feelings and almost uncouple them from each other, because, you know, there are thoughts, logical thoughts that need to happen in a certain place. And then we sort of attach these feelings to all of them as well. And that can almost be where we get ourselves in this sort of turmoil to go, oh my goodness, but this means this, this, and this, and this. But if you talk to someone who does this every day, they're quite objective about it and can kind of go, okay, well, we can get you out of here in the next 8 to 12 months. You're like, oh, and you think, how quick does 8 to 12 months go, right? It's exactly. Like, feels like it was January and then all of a sudden, boom, 2025's gone. Like, where did that go? Yeah. You know, so there are certainly options, even though it doesn't feel like there are now. And that time will go by so quickly and you'll be in a more desirable option in probably less time than you realize.
Especially with young kids. I just feel like my experience of time is on warp speed with young kids. So that will just speed past if their life is anything like mine. Thank you so much, Vanessa Williams, realestate.co.nz. Data queen, telling us what we need to hear, even if it's not always what we want to hear. We appreciate you. Now, if you have a question about anything to do with money, but especially the property world, anything where Vanessa can dig into that fantastic data that she's got at her fingertips, send it through. Let's do a deep dive for you. ask@francescook.co.nz. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.